Hello, my beautiful creator. I want to talk to you today about how to get more marketing content in less time. I know that you guys are all feeling a bit overwhelmed. I know I get there from time to time that we have to produce content for so many different platforms. We have to post to our Facebook groups. We have to post to our Facebook pages. We have to post to Instagram. We have to post to our Instagram stories. We have to maybe do IGTV, maybe YouTube, our blog, our email. There's so much out there, and it's really important to be showing up on all these platforms, of course, but it can feel just super overwhelming and crazy and... Who has the time, right, entrepreneurs? So I was inspired by Jess and Rana in the interview today talking about their content cyclones. I teach a really similar method in my signature product, the Creators Marketing Method, in my group coaching programs. So I wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about how I think about it. And you'll notice in the interview that this is very parallel to what Jess and Rhonda like to do. We are cut from the same cloth and have known each other for years. So I'm not at all surprised that we're teaching our clients similar methods. So in Carve the Turkey, here's what you're going to do. You're going to buy and it doesn't have to be super fancy or expensive, but a little tripod for your phone. You're going to take your phone. Bonus points if you're going to record some vertical video. I like to play with horizontal and vertical video. Vertical video performs a lot better on things like and mobile in general. So things like Instagram stories or Facebook ads or those kinds of things. You know, just play with both and see what works better for your audience, what's performing better. Always have your finger on those analytics, guys. So what you're going to do is you're going to take your phone, your iPhone or your Android, and you're going to put it on that tripod. And you're going to take a piece of paper and you're going to come up with one topic to talk about. So for this example, what we're going to talk about is my product marketing triangle, which has 3 points to it. One is personality, one is story, and one is education-based marketing. So I'm going to write on that piece of paper the topic, so product marketing triangle. Then I'm going to say number one, education-based marketing. Number two, story. And number three, personality. And then I'm going to just hit record and record myself talking about those things. So I didn't have to plan something. I didn't have to worry about a script. I'm not, you know, super bogged down. I'm just talking and I'm being natural. I'm making sure I'm looking at that camera. So, you know, it's a little bit up if you're vertical and it's a little bit to the left or right if you're horizontal. You know what I mean? Just look at that big eye as opposed to looking at yourself, which can be hard, I know, but it comes out way better that way when you publish that video. So you're going to talk about your topic. So I'm going to wrap a little bit about the importance of personality. So I might say things along the lines of, you know, it's important to infuse your own personality, your who you are, what you're doing, what is important to you into your marketing. I'm going to talk about stories. You guys all know that I'm a sucker for stories, talking about the powerful way that as humans, we sit around the proverbial fire and we swap stories, we tell our history, all of that. We have this throughout all of humanity, throughout all of our history. So it's important to be able to tell stories when we're talking about our products or our services. And then we're going to talk about education-based marketing. And this has to do with educating your audience on your product so that they realize that they need it. They realize that they want it. They realize that they must have it. So marketing should have all three of those components. Okay. So obviously I'm going to say a little bit more about that in the video. I like to have these videos be about 10 minutes, maybe a little bit less, probably no more, unless you're really teaching something super meaty and then sure, go for it. But I noticed that people do tend to drop off and it's harder to keep people going if you are longer. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to record that video. And then I'm going to go to a website called rev.com. And that's going to be in the show notes, guys. And I'm going to upload it to rev.com. And I think it's about a dollar or so per minute. And it's going to produce a transcript for me. So there you go. And I think they turn it around within an hour or so. I'm not exactly sure, but it's very quick. So then a very short amount of time, you have the video and you have a transcript. And what are you going to do with that transcript? You're going to take that transcript. You're going to clean it up a little bit. Sometimes we talk differently than how we write. So there's going to be you ums and ahs and different filler words and different things to clean up, but it's not going to take you too long. And you've got a blog post. So take that video and take that transcript, stick them together, upload them to your blog. There you go. Then You're going to go to your email newsletter and you're going to plan an email for next week. And remember, we want to be emailing out at least once a week to our dreamy customers, to our tribe, giving them valuable content, not just selling to them. I like to say about 20% of the time I'm selling, 80% of the time I'm just giving valuable content. So for there, you're going to link out to the blog. Maybe you're going to embed the video and you're going to give them a little bit of a synopsis of what the blog is about and then give them a little bit of something extra. So I like to say, you know, this is my product marketing triangle. These are the three things. But because you guys are my loyal fans and you open this email every week and I love you so much, I'm going to give you a little bit extra. And what I'm going to tell you is there's actually another component that I like to do. And then I'm going to kind of, you know, get that lean forward feeling into my marketing. And I'm going to say, guys, what you also need to do is have branding and visual aesthetics down. It's not as important as these other three things, but I'm going to give you three quick tips on how to up-level your photos right now. There you go. You got an email. Super simple, super quick, right? And then remember how there were three parts to that triangle, three points to that triangle. And there's probably like a little intro about what the triangle is all about. There's an outro and a conclusion that's summing everything up. There you go. Those are four social media posts. So find a good image to go with them. Plan ahead. I like Hootsuite for planning ahead. You've got at least four social media posts that you're going to post to your timeline for Instagram, for Facebook, for however. And then voila, in 1 to 2 hours a week, you have planned out all of your content marketing for the week. And guys, listen, this is just the big high level planning. I want you to go in there. I want you to be connecting with dreamy clients. I want you to be DMing. I want you to be commenting on other people's posts. I want you to be sharing to your story. So every time something gets uploaded to your feed, share it to your story. And then I also want you to be sharing other things, share other people's content. If you see a cool quote square, share that up there. If you want to, you see something else, if you want to take some behind the scenes videos that are kind of just in your line of work, in the day-to-day flow, like I might do a meditation, snap a quick picture of me meditating, say, listen, meditation is really important for your creative flow or something, you know, put a little graphic on it. This is the way that you produce lots of marketing content in a way that is time efficient, which we all need time back, right? All right. There is your quick solo teaching for the day. And I'm so excited for the interview. So without further ado, let's chat with Jess and Rhonda. All right. Hey, Jess and Rhonda, welcome to the Creators Marketing Method podcast. Thanks so much for being here.
Hey. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, we're excited.
Super excited. I've known these two beautiful ladies for, I don't even want to tell you how many years, a lot of my life. And they have really paved the way for me in creating my own entrepreneurship and my own business, a lot of inspiration and a lot of mentorship. So I wanted to get them on here to share some of their wisdom with you guys. So let's start off, you know, from the beginning. So I'm going to lob this to Jess to start off. Tell me a little bit about your story and how you guys got to starting your fitness empire and where you are today.
Well, our story actually begins decades ago now when we met as college suite mates at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And we
go Duke.
That's one thing we don't have in common. We were not only suite mates, we also majored in the same major, which was sports medicine, athletic training. And so we right away had that connection that we had a shared interest in health and wellness and medicine. And then while both of us came from very different backgrounds, if you kind of heard our upbringing, you'd say like, oh, you're two very different people. You come from very different places. But the interesting thing I think is that we connected our core values really aligned. And we knew that there was something that just resonated with each other right away. And so we became very close friends and then also had the, we were study partners because we were in the same major. So we had this little study group and oftentimes to kind of avoid studying sometimes or to procrastinate, we'd just daydream about one day we'll have like a little sports medicine clinic or, you know, that was sort of just a pipe dream at that point in time. But fast forward several years later, and I had gone into grad school in sports medicine. Rhonda had gotten out and worked within the field of athletic training and then come back to this area to go to grad school. And our paths really, I mean, we stayed close friends through this whole period of time. But our paths really crossed again at that time when she'd moved back to this, to the Triangle area in North Carolina to go to grad school. And I was at the point where I had built up a big personal training client base and was really wanting or understanding that time was a limited resource, and that in order to grow a business that was more than just me being a sole proprietor, that I'd probably need to have a physical location, and that we'd also start to have to like kind of have a team. So we joined forces, and really within a short period of time, kind of banged out a business plan, secured funding, found a physical location, negotiated lease terms. And we kind of joke around that we were sort of like, ignorance is bliss. We didn't know what we didn't know at that point in time. And we're like, sure, we'll sign our name on this long lease, and sure, we'll borrow all this money. But really, I mean, we've really made, I think, good, smart, conservative business decisions along the way, and only kind of taken on what we could take on at each sort of step of the way as we have gone. But the one thing, another thing that's been great about that is that I think because our connection is really rooted in very, very similar core values, our business partnership has been really successful. I think one of the things that people say often when they hear our story or when they first meet us is like, wait, you guys have been business partners for like 15 years and you're still friends?
It's like a marriage, right? I mean, gosh.
Right. It is, for sure. And so again, we go back to that idea that we really have very similar core values. And the other thing about that, I'll just put this in as a little aside, is that the other thing is that we really value the human connection and human relationship that we have over the business partnership. And so we always kind of put, there have been times where I've been at different places in our lives or different things were important to us. And we had to just kind of respect that, I think, about each other and put each other's, our friendship first, and make business decisions, you know, based around that kind of human connection and human needs. So.
Totally. That makes sense. Like, I just have seen you guys grow from, I mean, I was around when you first opened Empowered Fitness. Yeah. What year was that?
So yeah, we opened, to get to more details of the story, we opened in 2005, a brick and mortar studio location. And then that really has grown organically over time. And in 2007, we expanded. In 2008, 2009, for those of you who are old enough to know this, the economy went in the toilet.
Yeah, no fun.
Held on for dear life during those years. And then we actually took some time out to have children because
we're actual babies.
Yeah, like really.
We say that Empower was our first baby, and it kind of got to kindergarten, and then we had real babies about 6 months apart. So those girls are now 9 and 8 years old. So
wow.
Yeah.
And then a couple years after that, we ended up expanding our current space again and opening a second location. And so that was initially one of our growth strategies, was to have multiple brick and mortar locations. We did that for several years and then really kind of recognized that wasn't maybe the best growth strategy for us. We tried it. There are a lot of ways in which it did not really align with our core values, and things had shifted for us in our lives a little bit, and we had to recognize that. And so we ended up selling that second location and coming back to just our flagship location. And that is really when we started to put more energy into what's next for us as entrepreneurs, because at that stage of the game, both having children and then opening us, you know, readying our flagship location for us to be away opening up a second location, we had really kind of systemized our business and got this business running fairly well without our presence on a daily basis. And that allowed us, when we came back to just this one location, allowed us to really free up our time and gave us the freedom to really dive back into what do we want? What else do we want to do? How else do we want to empower people? And that is when we really started to think more about online coaching and consulting. And through that process, it didn't happen overnight.
No.
It was a long process to arrive where we are now.
Amen.
But Empower Partners Coaching and Consulting is an online coaching and consulting business that works with women wellness entrepreneurs who are studio business owners and helping them create impact, income, and freedom in their studio business as we have been able to do in ours for the last 15 years. So.
Love that. And also, it sounds like it fits better in your flow with, you know, having children and making sure you have enough time with your family because you're not tied to that brick and mortar as much as you used to be.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's right. Perfect.
Love that. All right, Rana, we talked a little bit about, you know, being partners for so many years and how it's kind of like, throughout it was kind of like a marriage. Talk to me about how you guys stay sane. I mean, you are such good friends. Your families are friends and you're, you know, in the trenches growing these businesses together every day. How do you balance that all?
Yeah, I think that is, like Jessica said, we've always kind of valued that human connection first. And another kind of core value that we share is just this idea of being committed to our commitment. So when one of us or both of us agree to something, we agree and we go all in. So if you have that human connection first and we make sure that we're aligned and we're like, yes, this is where we're headed. This is our goal. We both can see it, you know, and we talk about it. If not, you know, no, that doesn't align with where I am in my life right now, or I can't commit that amount of time. So being committed to our commitments, having the work ethic is just another core value that we share. A piece of the story that Jess didn't mention was that we both come from families of sole proprietors. So her dad and my mom and my stepdad all had kind of independent sole proprietorship businesses. And I think we both just learned a lot about hard work from them mm-hmm. because, you know, it really was, if you weren't working, then you weren't really earning a living. And so we saw that. But another value that they kind of taught us was to find work you absolutely love, because we had the luxury of growing up with parents who showed us that you can go to work and absolutely love your work. And it's not necessarily fun every day, but sure. It can bring you a lot of joy. So I think, you know, just having those underlying threads, but, you know, in the moment there are conflicts from time to time. And I think that just having respect for one another and having respect for each other's position and trying to empathize, put ourselves in the other person's shoes, see where they're coming from, you know, at times agree to disagree and move on kind of thing. And just realize that, you know, it's almost like kind of the nature of the game. Like you said, like a marriage or any longstanding relationship, it's going to come with that kind of push and pull and compromise and prioritizing all those values and the shared goals, I think is probably one of the strongest things that keeps us aligned and going for year after year and friendship and all that stuff.
Love that. If I can ask, has there been a moment, and you can decide how much detail you want to share, where you guys have not seen eye to eye, and how did you break that down and come back together for the better of your personal relationship and the business?
Yeah.
Putting you on the spot.
That's fine. I think that in a lot of ways, though I can't think of a really big one. I think oftentimes they're small things.
Sure.
And we do a really good job of really both kind of expressing our point of view or our perspective on the issue. And then it's, you know, just as it works itself out, one of us kind of concedes. It's just how it was. I mean, I think one of us comes to the point where like, oh, I get this isn't so important to me. This is more important to you.
Yep.
I'm trying to think.
Unfortunately, there's no plot twist. There's no drama where we just were at a complete impasse and right. just couldn't get past it. I mean, I can think of a time actually that when we had our other studio in a neighboring location, it divided us a bit. And it was kind of, I'd say, one of the hardest times in our business journey. Mm. The timing, we knew that was our growth goal, but the opportunity found us versus us searching for it. And the timing, unfortunately, just wasn't the best. We each had really young children, and the energy and effort that it takes to get a brick and mortar off the ground is tremendous. And we just didn't have that time to do that. And so it split us a bit in that sometimes we would be in different studios and we were having to figure out a new way to work. And I kind of personally was going to the neighboring city a little bit more frequently, and I felt very isolated and alone. Mm-hmm. And I went through a period there where I really was kind of considering, if you will, like, I don't know how much longer I can do this. And I kind of came to the conclusion that that wasn't the best fit for me personally. and that I was looking for a way to kind of extract myself from that. And so, but through that process, you know, I feel like we had really good conversations. You know, I think maybe Jessica speak on what was happening on her side, but I said it a lot, and I think it took a few months before she heard me. And then I think she heard me and she was like, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think I heard her, but my biggest concern at that point was financially. We had invested a lot of money and was like, how do we just walk away from that? How do we swallow so much debt and a lease? You know, like there's a lot on that part. So I'm like, I hear you, but what the hell do we do to get ourselves out of that? Now, there were several things that then happened. And I mean, this goes into part of our story, but one of the most kind of like gut-wrenching things was we had a general manager who was running our brick and mortar location, our flagship location in Durham, North Carolina. And, you know, he was kind of our point person so that Rhonda could be mostly at our other location and I could float back and forth in between. And, you know, out of the blue, he was diagnosed at age 34 with a grade 4 glioblastoma brain tumor, which is the most aggressive, most deadly form of brain cancer.
Oh, so sad and so crazy. Yeah.
So that was like a huge, like, I mean, we were already feeling, you know, totally stretched thin, overwhelmed, you know, all of these things. And then to have something like that land on you, it just was this huge, like, eye opener where like we just kind of thought like light, no matter what, life is too short to be miserable. Mm-hmm. And Rhonda, we were both miserable, but Rhonda was really specifically miserable. I was like, sure. No, we can't, no matter what, we can't go on. Like this has to change. Now, luckily at that same time, there was somebody who was interested in kind of renting some space from us in that second location. And we approached him with like, well, how about you take the whole damn thing? And so we were able to actually sell our business. Mm-hmm. And now we didn't own, obviously, the building. We were renting the building, but we were able to like pass the lease over to him and sell our client list and sell our equipment and, you know, like recoup some of the costs. So that was like,
makes sense.
Alleviated us and the stress and the overwhelm. And we still obviously came out of there probably definitely at a loss. Mm-hmm. But
minimally.
And the relief that we felt after that.
Ugh, I can't even imagine. Yeah.
Immense. So, I mean, this is definitely, that's a huge part.
And it feels like you guys at the beginning of this interview, we're talking so much about that you're in alignment with your values and your purpose and all of that. And it feels like from hearing you guys that the second location was really taking you away from that. It was taking away from your interpersonal. It was taking away from the reason that you started this business in the first place.
Exactly.
And so how did you decide, you know, I feel like it was a pretty big course correction or change in your lofty goals, because I know speaking to you guys earlier in your business, the goal was always to set up multiple brick and mortar locations. And then you kind of came upon this idea of this online coaching business for other wellness, female wellness entrepreneurs. And how did it feel to really get your hearts and minds and, you know, systems and everything around this like big, big change in what you felt like the future of your business was?
Yeah. I mean, I can speak a little bit on it. You know, again, you mentioned values. And one of the things that was happening when we had the two brick and mortar locations is, you know, like we said, we had young children at the time. And that of course, being one of our big values, yet a new addition at that time. And there were literally days that we were like white knuckled on the highway, like we're not going to make it home to see them, and or we're going to be the last to pick up at daycare, possibly late. You know, they're going to be the toddler sitting in the room, last one picked up, first one dropped off. And, you know, it just, you know, we're kind of like, we only have technically, you know, 18 years of them under our roof. And we're like, we don't want to miss out on some of these tender moments and that sort of thing. And so, you know, we're trying to juggle new motherhood and two businesses and so that was really a challenge. I think at the core, we also, once we kind of alleviated ourselves of that second location, we're just not sit on your hands kind of people. We were like, we're not done. Like,
guys, so they really aren't. I don't know people who work harder than Jez and Rhonda. So right. Just a second that. Sorry, Rhonda, keep going.
That's okay. But, you know, we just kind of, we are just kind of like a what's next kind of people. I mean, we can be very grateful in the moment and enjoy the process, but just felt very much like there was something else out there for us. And so we often have business coaches ourselves, and thankfully the right business coach at the right time. Early in our business, it was a systems person who really helped us get the systems. But at this point of our business, it was really someone who helped us with visioning. And his whole role was to just kind of call up that vision and that purpose that was within you. And that in and of itself was a process. It was, you know, like we tell others, it's like, you know, the piano of purpose doesn't fall from the sky and just land on you. And you're like, oh, I know what I should be doing now. It's almost been a 4 or 5 year process to get the clarity that we have now around our coaching and consulting business. And so that business coach really helped pull the visioning out of us and helped us set some really big goals for our flagship brick and mortar location that are coming to fruition currently as well, and set the stage for kind of what's next for us as entrepreneurs. And it came out of conversations and exercises with that particular individual and more conversation with one another. Eerily, our lives have followed very similar paths. we're only a month apart in age. Our daughter's only 6 months apart. But, you know, life is life, and we're older now, and sometimes it's not exactly aligned, and different
sure.
external pressures are coming in and out. And so the coaching and consulting really felt like a good fit for us that would allow us to prioritize those family values and things that we have, keep the business going that we do have, and still be able to kind of strike out and flex our entrepreneurial muscles.
Yeah. And I would say the same thing, like the coach that we worked with at that time, like one of the things that he really had us do is pay close attention to resonant energy, like what resonates with you, and really lean into that. Like you have to find, because things you're not, you know, more than just being positive or happy, you know, those feelings are great, but really life is a combination of up and down. But he's like, really pay attention to what resonates with you. And then that's really how, you know, we realize like our purpose and our passion haven't completely changed. They've just shifted some. And we had to just pay attention to how they had shifted. And really what we realized is like, we still have this deep desire and this deep passion to help people, but maybe now it's not with helping them with a workout program or a nutrition plan, but it's more from the business sense, because our last 15 years of experience is really much more in the business and marketing and team building and all that. And how can we share all that we've learned, all that we have studied, all that we've experienced in the last 15 years and help other women wellness entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so that makes sense. And I know for myself and in my own business and what I teach my clients is you need a purpose and passion that gets you through the hard times. Like uh-huh. you said, like being happy and being like excited every day is wonderful. And we hope most days are like that. But there's, as entrepreneurs, always going to be those hard days. And you need a purpose and passion that's going to weather you in those storms for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey creators, I'm just popping in quickly to talk about my Creators Marketing Method group coaching program for creative entrepreneurs and artists just like you. The Creators Marketing Method is a step-by-step program where I show you how to share your passion and live your truth in a way that serves your tribe. I partner with creators and show them how to actually make money doing what they love. Want to make a full-time living doing what you love and see consistent recurring revenue on a monthly basis? Then this program is for you. We will cover how to create marketing that attracts and grows your tribe and therefore explodes your revenue. Go check out GinaIreland.com to learn more. That's GinaIreland.com. This simple method has helped many of my clients double and even triple their revenue. So if you're ready to sell more of your creative endeavors without hiring expensive consultants, check it out at GinaIreland.com. Let's switch gears a little bit. And you guys have been so successful at marketing for both your brick and mortar and also for the newish online coaching business. So let's talk a little bit about marketing and how do you stay in the creative flow each day? You know, you're having to produce content, as I talk to my clients, right? For your blog, for your email, for social media, you know, you're not only posting, but you're commenting on other people's posts, all of the things. How do you create enough time and space for that and stay creatively inspired as you're doing it?
That is a very good question. And also one of the things we struggle with sometimes the most. So they are different animals. Like marketing our brick and mortar studio business and marketing our online coaching and consulting business are very different. There are some crossover. And I would say, actually, we've learned some things through our process of learning how to market our online coaching and consulting business that we are now applying to our brick and mortar
location. Oh, I love that.
And I'll tell you what that example is. And it's our kind of our content cyclones. So we have a very process.
We systemize everything.
Yeah, we systemize everything.
It's like, I got to make this repeatable, so I'll stick with it. Otherwise, I'll do it this way one day and that way the next day. And so this in and of itself has, if you can, make connection systemized. It's really about systemizing the process and the timing of it so that it doesn't become something that we spend all of our time on social media or creating content.
Yeah, I agree with that. Systems keep you sane in your business for sure. Like having a plan, having a system in place is so important.
Yes. And so the thing that we do in both of the businesses, and actually we're just in the process of implementing both of these, but is what we call a content cyclone. And it starts with recording a video. And so what we're doing is we're trying to produce useful or entertaining, so we call it educational or entertaining content that's very valuable to our clients. And we record a video, and sometimes it's a frequently asked question. Sometimes it's, you know, again, some kind of tip or trick or something that we want to share. And we speak on that topic. We take that content and we send it away to Rev.com, and we have it transcribed. And then from that transcription, we can write a blog. And from the blog, we then spin off more content. We write emails from that blog. So we basically will have a whole episode of content around some central ideas. And again, systemizing that social media and online content helps. And that was one of the things that we took from our online, how we market our online business into our brick and mortar location. Marketing for our brick and mortar location has a little bit more to do with community involvement. I mean, the difference between the two is that, you know, when you have a brick and mortar location, your target market lives or works within a 3 to 5 or 10 mile radius. Mm-hmm. And so getting out into that community and having a presence in that community and meeting people and investing in the local community in different ways, whether you're participating in fundraisers for nonprofits or different ways in which you can really be present and show up so that the community feels your presence. Online, your clients could live anywhere. And so really that's how come you have to show up online, because that's how you kind of are connected or pulled together. I'll be very honest, maybe it's because of our age, but we do not love...
It's not as natural to us. It doesn't feel as natural to us.
To engage online so like super frequently. It's different for us once we've made a connection. So we have with our clients that are in our private coaching group that are currently taking our programs and our courses and we're currently helping, it's a little bit easier just because it feels so much more natural and authentic.
Totally.
The other side of it, where we're really just trying to get people to know, like, and trust us through our social, you know, through all of that stuff, sometimes that gets laborious, like just a little bit.
Yeah. No, I hear you on that. Yeah. And it is so much easier once you have that connection with someone, whether it be, for me, it's even also online. Like if I've maybe had you on a phone call, I've done a little coaching for you. Maybe the bulk of our relationship is online, but I still know who you are versus like just trying to, you know, get these connections going. It can be
building your list.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I think it's, you know, it's marketing changes. It's constantly changing. It's ever evolving. If we take it way back to when we first started, I mean, even just the kind of, you know, strategy around marketing has shifted. I mean, there really was no social media to speak of. I mean, I think if Facebook existed, it really existed in the platform of college or university students. And so, you know, and then all the subsequent platforms from there, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, all that, it just didn't really exist. It really, when we started our business, our brick and mortar business, it was a lot about like, hey, look at all these accolades and achievements that I have, and let me hang out my sign and shout it to you and let you know that we're here. And then the consumer comes and kind of makes the decision. And I just think strategically and just kind of from societally, it's just shifted to community. People want to build community, whether that is an online community or an in-person community. So like Jessica said, mm-hmm. there's that crossover effect of we're building community with those people who live or work right around our fitness studio, but we're also learning to build and how to have those authentic relationships and build community on social media in ways that feel authentic to us. Because as she referenced, you know, our age. And so we're like, you know, we're just going to...
They aren't as old as they're making themselves sound.
I'm not so natural with like, look at me looking natural in front of this, not really looking natural, take my picture.
Yeah, amen.
But I'm getting better with angles and filters and things like that. Yeah. But no, I'm just saying it's, you know, my 8-year-old daughter can grab my phone faster and make it happen. It's kind of baked into their culture and to their... the way they do things. And so, you know, it is just something that we're learning, but we're trying to do it at our pace and doing it in a way that's authentic to us to connect, try to make those connections, because we know we really thrive on that human connection. We're in this coaching and consulting business to help others. And so it is about creating that connection with people. And so while our community may be on the smaller side, those relationships go much deeper.
I love that. I think what you kept saying, authenticity, and that is something that is so important for all of these connections. As soon as you get outside, I've noticed in my own business and with my clients, as soon as you get outside your authenticity and you start to try to act like somebody else on social or, you know, try to grow with all of the shortcuts like buying followers or follow and follow strategies or whatever it is, then it just... First of all, it doesn't feel right. Like it feels icky and all that. And also it doesn't really work in the long term. So I love what you're saying about growing authentic community and all that. That's beautiful.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your routines, morning routines, how you guys get your day set up for success. I'll go over to Jess first.
Okay. So having a child, my morning routine really kind of revolves around getting her out the door on time so she makes it to school. But actually before that, I have a really hard time meditating. Like I have tried and a million different things, and even like the guided meditation tapes, or I mean, not tapes, but sorry, we don't use those anymore. There you go.
That's like three now generations ago. Yeah.
Everybody knows. Get out of this. Just go ahead and like roll it back in with a pin.
Yeah, I think some of my listeners don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. YouTube it, you'll know. So my mind will wander. So what I've let myself off the hook and say like, okay, you don't have to be someone who meditates for 20 minutes a day, but I always spend like the first 5 to 15 minutes when I wake up, I'm still in bed. And that is in the time when I can do a body scan. I can do an emotional scan. I can just really kind of center myself, do some deep breathing. Really, I start my morning that way, so I can feel relaxed and in control. Control is a big thing for me. So I just feel so much better when I do that. And so that is really the first part of my morning. And then really, I mean, I'll be honest, I'd love to say there's so many people out there, all these influencers, like I always read for 20 minutes in the morning and I do this and that. I'm like, nope, I hit the ground running. From that point forward, it is, you know, deal with getting lunch made and kid out the door and walk the dog and feed the dog if I remember and pack my own lunch and all of that. But I will say that the food prep piece is important to me in that obviously being in the health industry, but also just I know that that's how, you know, fueling my body with good whole foods is important. And so food prep is all definitely always part of my day, and it's almost always morning when I'm doing some of that. So prepping healthy foods. The other thing that I do in the morning is I plan when and what my workout's going to be, because I want to make sure that it happens. And so oftentimes I'm texting Rhonda, like, what's our workout plan? If I don't know, then I'm texting her, what's our workout plan for today?
And do you calendar that, like grab yourself some time and making sure it's happening at a certain time, or you kind of try to fit it in as you're going?
It's blocked on our calendar every day.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important. I know for me, if I didn't do that, it wouldn't happen.
Right.
And really, it's like an appointment with yourself. I mean, you have to prioritize it just like you would with anything else. If you want to make it happen, then you have to block the time for it. So
Yeah. And I like that appointment with yourself. Yeah. Fill your own cup up first. Self-care. Got to do it.
Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't take its full, it doesn't get its full tread of, you know, the whole hour or whatever we blocked out, but some movement every single day.
So. Sure.
And then the other piece, very important piece of my morning routine that I'm forgetting is I do try to sit and drink my coffee. For just a few minutes. I mean, because there is that hairy pace. So typically after I get my daughter out of the door, and my husband's usually the one taking her to school. So after that happens, just being able to sit and drink my coffee without like running around is another important part of my morning. It doesn't always happen, but most mornings I try to.
Sure. And have you taken your phone out and started going through your inbox yet? Or do you try to wait until after the morning stuff is over? Or does it kind of depend?
I oftentimes lose track of my phone at my house. I'm not on it 24/7. Sometimes in the morning, when I do that body scan and I'm doing the whole taking stock in my day, if there's like, oh shit, I forgot this, or oh, you know, like I'm feeling like, then I forgot something, or I really need to reach out to somebody, or I need to text Rhonda. Sometimes, but oftentimes, no. Oftentimes I'm not engaging.
I like that no device time. And so then when you're with your family, you're able to be really present and not, that's so important. That's something I'm working on, guys. Because I'm like always like picking it up.
Yeah, it's like you want to model it too for them, because our girls are right on that, that kind of cusp of getting into having their own devices soon. And what is kind of a healthy consumption of content, like as far as always being connected. So trying to model that for them a little bit.
Yeah, no, I like that. That makes a ton of sense, because we could be as entrepreneurs on our devices literally all the time, because we're not turning the lights off and
walking
it over to somebody else. Exactly. Like we're our businesses all the time. So yeah, that's really conscious. And I like that. Rhonda, do you want to share your morning routine?
It's very similar. I kind of wake up as well. I've tried some of the meditation things in different stages of my kind of, I don't know, season I'm in or whatever. I can sometimes be a little bit more still, but right now when it's kind of the school year time, it is kind of a get up and go. But I do like to start those first few minutes of just a gratitude practice, of just kind of thinking through, you know, big and small things that I'm grateful for, things, you know, that may actually be kind of bothering me or needling me, and trying to find some gratitude in that in the process. And so I like to spend a few minutes just kind of doing that. I usually do have a cursory check of my device like shortly thereafter, and just kind of, you know, usually there are not any major fires that have to be put out, but I like to just kind of know, what am I walking into later today, or what do I need to kind of mentally prep myself for? I also like to have just like, as of late, again, this is probably a seasonal thing, but we'll just talk about it now. But I like to have a little bit of movement in the morning. I'm a huge Peloton addict. I love my Peloton. And the only time
the best
is in the morning. And so sometimes it's only 10 minutes, which I know that in that community, that doesn't really count as a ride, but hey, I'm not competitive.
Imperfect action. You got to do what works for you. Totally.
But you know, sometimes it's 10 minutes or 15 minutes, or maybe sometimes it's just like a 10 minute yoga, like just a tiny bit of movement. And sometimes it's not, sometimes it's just extra sleep. But I do like to just have, I feel like it's the one time in my day that is like literally mine, like nobody else in my house is awake and it is all mine. There is no chance of anybody, there's a rare chance of anyone interrupting me at that time of morning, because it's pretty early. And then after that, it's kind of, you know, out the door, like get all the things, get my daughter out to school, and then come to work. So, and kind of get going. As of late, my schedule of getting up and out has been quite early, which has gotten me to work early. And so I kind of mirror what Jessica does with the coffee, but I just am here at work at the brick and mortar studio, kind of enjoying my coffee, kind of going through, if there's any, by that time I've already kind of looked at emails. I like to jump into my biggest project first, because it's just like I have the best energy, and that's when I have, you know, like a lot of focus. I'm caffeinated, I'm up, I'm ready to go. And so I like to kind of jump into some of the harder projects before the day gets away from me.
Yeah, that totally makes sense, because when you start to have lower energy as the day goes, you can kind of fill that in with some of the tasks that don't take as much out of you. I like that.
Yes. Exactly. That's taken a while because it's easy to jump into the things that are easy. Like, oh, you know, because you can feel really accomplished. Like,
you can just start checking those off, right?
Or handling finances or, you know, things. But to do that strategic work, it does take a lot of mental energy. And so that's typically a time when I'm not going to have a lot of interruptions. Not a lot of meetings are scheduled yet. So I try to use that as a time to really focus on some of those bigger things.
Totally. Love that. What I want to talk about where people can find you, especially for my listeners who aren't necessarily located in North Carolina. Talk a little bit about your group coaching program, where people can find some more information, because I know a lot of my listeners are female wellness entrepreneurs and would really benefit from your programs.
Yeah, no, that's great. And if other listeners just know of studio owners, that would be wonderful too. Probably the best place to start is on our website, which is www.empowerpartnerscoaching.com. And they can also find us both on Facebook with Empower Partners Coaching and on Instagram.
And we'll include this in the show notes for you guys. I want to make sure that you can connect with Jess and Rhonda. I, as I said, have known them for so long. They are a huge inspiration for me in building my own coaching business. So you guys got to check it out. Some great stuff in there.
And on our homepage of our website, you can find a free training that I think is really useful. It's called the Wellness Studio Success Master Plan. And it really kind of gives you the overview of how we were able to kind of grow our business within 8 years to be making more than 7 figures and do that without us having to be there working day in and day out. So if you want to grab that master plan, it's there on our homepage.
Yeah, you guys, I'll include that link as well. You guys should definitely grab that. And thanks so much, Jess and Rhonda. I think there are so many words of wisdom and things to pass on to my listeners. So this was great. It's always good to connect with you guys. And let's stay in touch.
Okay thank you, good. Gina.
Thanks, all right, Gina. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. This has been the Creators Marketing Method podcast. Thanks for joining me today. Text creators to 66866, that's CREATORS to 66866, to get my free step-by-step guide to create your authentic marketing message to explode your income. Lots of soulful goodness, guys. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.